for Mandla on cliffcentral.com.
There are a lot of changes every March on every radio station around the country, and Cliff Central has been no different. I'm still trying to find my feet, new time slots coming in and out. But you're tuned into Womandla, and it's still a Wednesday, and I am still Phumi Mashego. Thank you for joining me today. And I think here in Gauteng, at least, a lot of kids went back to school yesterday. Some of the spoiled brats are going on holiday only on Friday. And that means most of us traumatized mummies have now had this year's first report. We've just looked at that report, and I think it's early days yet. And this is the time to be making those decisions about how you're supporting your child. We know the statistics. Education is expensive. We know the statistics. What's the number? It's something like 500,000 kids start grade one every year, and only about 250 actually make it out at the end of Standard 10. Yeah, that's how old I am.
Grade 12.
Make it out on the other side of grade 12. And it's always like national news. Who has done well and who has not? And who could be doing better? And halfway through the year, there's always some kind of Mistress Angie fighting with the teachers about some kind of assessments and who's doing what. But I think if you're making the investment in your children's education, you should hedge that investment. You should kind of, you know, hedge your bets and really give the support. So, and I hate doing homework. I hate doing homework with my kid. And he's only 8 years old, as you all know. And I already hate doing homework. And I'm so worried about when the day comes when the homework is actually outside of my scope of knowing. And I'm absolutely astounded at how much work they do today, and can't believe that this is what our children are exposed to. So I thought the right thing to do for me and for you is let's have a conversation this early in the year about learner support, because I think it is an important part of teaching children, of allowing them to be the best that they can be in the classroom and in life in general, you know, to give them the confidence that they need. So I've asked two friends to join me today. Sudesh, I've been practicing this name. We've been talking on email, and every time I send him an email, I think it's always some kind of funny something. It's a different iteration, and he's been so kind to me. Sudesh, thank you so much for coming. He's been so kind. He didn't like lambast me the first time around, the second time around, and then like he'll respond and say, "Regards, Sudesh." And I think that's not what I called him. Sudesh is the founder, and are you the CEO or are you the principal? What's the head of a learning organization?
I'm the founder of Study Buddy.
You're the founder of Study Buddy.
Right.
And I've also got from Kumon, South Africa. Rosanne, how do I say your last name?
Loni.
You see, I have to be worried about these things. I don't speak English as a mother tongue, guys. So it's the thing. Kumon, South Africa and Study Buddy. And I've read a lot about Kumon. I've read a lot now about Study Buddy. And very fascinating, but I'm going to let you tell our listeners about your organizations. Ladies first. Or shall we let Sudesh go first? Sudesh, now that I'm so happy I've got you here in the studio, I think my chances of becoming president are getting better by the day. You go first, Sudesh.
Hi. Thanks for having me. And hi, Rosanne.
Hello.
So Study Buddy was formed about 7 years ago.
Great name, by the way.
Thanks very much. Yeah. I owe a lot of credit to a colleague, Lauren, who assisted me a lot with the branding and marketing collateral and the like.
Mm.
So we spent a lot of time thinking about what it is that we really wanted to do in this space. And having come from a mathematics science background, I thought...
Sudesh, are you one of those kids? Are you those kids with the 100% in math and science?
I don't think it was close to 100%, but we tried really hard. Back in the day, so I spent a lot of time in mathematics and science and everything, and a great company called Old Mutual employed me in their actuarial department, and I went on to study the actuarial subjects. And you know, working as an actuarial consultant has been exceptionally exciting. It still is extremely exciting. And over the years, I was inspired by people, you know, Peter Sage, Richard Branson, Tim Collins, etc. And I said, I'm seeing these kids struggling, and there's something I know I can do about it. And what it is that I could do. And I came up with this entire thing that I found children are actually feeling rather stifled, and somehow mathematics seems to be central to their lives. If they're getting an A in history and failing maths, they're very sad children. Their self-esteem's taking an absolute knock. And so I said to myself, do I want to teach mathematics, or do I want to show a child that they have the ability to pass mathematics and thereby have more possibilities in life? And the possibilities may not be limited only to the nerds. And I really, really wanted to see the child who's struggling to actually start glowing, really, from day one. And that was my creed, and that's a policy I live by. When the child walks in, and within the first 10 to 15 minutes, it's been my creed and my calling to absolutely wow the child. And we'd show them techniques and methods, and you'd see their eyes literally lighting up. Lots of them would say, nobody told us this. And we don't worry about what people told them and didn't tell them. Our job is to inspire them. And I say to guys at every lecture I go to, when you walk out of here today, you must feel 10% better than you were yesterday. And I say to them, don't negotiate yourself into accepting less. Go for great. Thus, with this vision, I felt we can pioneer a new way in which people are taught mathematics, science, and various learning areas, and really show children that they can pass mathematics.
So Study Buddy is a homegrown method, and it's across various subject matters. And so you guys aren't just maths, and you're not just science. So it's maths, it's science, it's biology, it's a lot of
languages.
And languages. That's
quite right.
Across the range, and created right here at home. And when I looked at your website and looked at the professors, it's always very nice with your mom. You're just like, there are professors out here making this thing happen. And yours is an international method.
Yes.
Kumon.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit more about Kumon.
All right. Well, Kumon essentially is a maths and English program, and it is extramural, so it's not part of a school system. We offer it through a network of franchises around the country and around the world. And it's many of the philosophies that Sudesh has just mentioned are very core to ours as well. But yes, it's essentially a place where children can come, that they can basically go back to the beginning of their mathematics, or back to the beginning of the we offer the English language program, and almost start again, as it were, and build up those foundations of things that they've missed all along the way, so that they can start to not only enjoy maths, but actually excel in it. And not only to excel in maths and English, but actually to excel in many subjects. Because exactly as Sudesh said, it's often the case where if you're failing in maths or you're not doing well in maths, it has the potential to really derail a big part of your school education.
Well, because everybody makes such a big deal about maths.
Yes.
Everybody makes such a big deal about maths. I remember when I was at school and, you know, maths sucked. I really sucked at maths. And I had to get a tutor, and I had to... It was because everybody makes such a big deal about maths. Mm. And I kind of get it now that I'm a grown-up. Now that I'm a grown-up and, you know, there's petrol prices and shopping and all sorts of things, I kind of get it. But I think when you're that young, and especially as a parent, when you then have to be the person where you had like your own palpitations about maths, and now you have to be the person helping another person to learn this thing and get the foundations right, it's a little... It's freaky for everybody involved, and it can't, yeah. You know, if the kid doesn't have the an aptitude towards it, it doesn't tend to end well for all involved. Yeah. So, but you know, so just why is there such a need for extracurricular help? Why is it not enough that there's a teacher in the class and they teach them and they must just come back and do their homework without you? Why is there such a need? Sudesh, maybe let's, because you founded Study Buddy, why did you feel there was such a need for extracurricular support for students?
I think if you look at the dynamics in our country, our classrooms are overcrowded. And that overcrowding itself is an issue. Historically, we find that a fair number of educators in the rural areas, they themselves were exposed to an education system that we all know was poor. So in rural areas as well, we find that educators have actually struggled a lot with mathematics and science understanding themselves, and they had to disseminate this on a daily basis to something like 200 children. If you look at having 5 or 6 lessons per day, and you're sitting in the class of 30 to 40, you don't quite understand the technical material, and you're teaching this to 200 people a day. That's another issue. It's the level of incompetence in the country. Intellectually, South Africa is battling. We know of all the stats when people talk about our intellectual capacity, our productivity gains in the country. We're really lagging behind. You mentioned something really interesting as well. It is why actually emphasize mathematics. You know, and people asked me this question from the time I was in Western Cape. And they said, Sudesh, why is mathematics important? And to be honest, when I was in my early 20s, I didn't quite know the general answer. And I don't think I know it today as well. However, mathematics gives a person the ability to problem solve. And what I say to people is that whether you become a scientist, an engineer, or you go into creative fields, be it media, be it landscaping, be it plumbing, you are actually problem solving. And mathematics gives you this ability, because life doesn't present you with a problem in a nice package for which there are set rules as to how to go about solving that problem. Every problem that life throws at us is quite unique, and mathematics allows us to problem solve. Of course, literally, mathematics would help our country develop more engineers, more accountants, more doctors, and the like. So that, in a nutshell, is the way I see the status quo in the country and the importance.
So talk to me a little bit about the methods. The methods that you use, there's a lot of, so we've recently, for about, I don't know, 6 months now, I've put my son on Kumon because I met a child that, not met, a child that one of my friend's children is in, and he's five years old and has an incredible arithmetic ability, which I thought was so fantastic. I thought, I want one of this for my own child. But as we've now been part of it, of the system, the system is a very specific system that you use at Kumon. Do you want to tell me a little bit about why it is that way and how that benefits a learner?
Yes, certainly. I think to answer that question, I just want to go back to your previous one about why do we need extracurricular mm-hmm. activities. And I think it's because it doesn't matter what kind of school you're in or what kind of classroom or any what kind of syllabus you're following, there's a certain amount of work and a certain syllabus that has to be delivered to students in a certain time frame. And so it will be pitched at a certain level with some degree of additional additional information that's needed, or going a bit more quickly for the brighter students. But essentially, in a classroom environment, the maths is delivered to students at a certain level, at a certain pace. And so that's, but in a classroom situation, whether you've got 10 children or 5 children or 100 children, it's always going to, you have 100 different learners and who are going to learn at a different pace and take in information at a different pace. And so therefore, some extra curricular tuition can really, really help, because it helps each individual learner to, at their own pace, to be able to grasp the subject and have more practice in it that they might not always get in having to complete a syllabus in a certain time frame. And so Kumon really focuses on that individual ability. And so when a child enrolls at Kumon, we don't really look so much at their age or their grade, but we want to know, what can you do right now? What is your ability level at this point? And we have a diagnostic test which informs us as to what can this child do right now. And then from that information, we will start them at a very easy starting point for their personal ability. So it's not about what grade you're in, what you're currently studying. Where do you need to start according to your own ability? And we will then start them on the program at that level. And then that each individual learner will move at their own pace according to their own needs. So one particular student might start right back at 1+1, but they know that work, they've done it already at school, so it's really like a refresher and they're able to advance quite quickly and go on to higher level work very quickly. Another student has never done 1+1, it's never seen it before, so they are going to need a lot more practice and a lot more time. So there's no restriction in terms of you have to complete a syllabus in a certain time frame, you have to keep up with the class, you have to make sure that you study this amount of work before you write an exam. None of that applies. So our method is to take each individual child and advance them through our program, our worksheets, at a pace that's right for them, allowing them sufficient time to practice sufficiently, to master a particular topic before they move on to the next one. Because if you don't master this one, this topic, and there's a little gap, when you move on to, especially in mathematics, when you move on to the next step, that little gap that you didn't quite understand in the previous level actually comes into play. And now you didn't quite get it, so now it's starting to become a little more challenging, and then a little more challenging, and before you know it, math is awful, you're terrified, anxiety, and so on. So our method is really to allow each child individually, step by step. So one child might take many months to complete a certain topic, another child might fly through, and each one progresses at their own pace according to their own ability.
In both the English and the maths?
That's so is correct, it? Yes. Okay. It's the same method applies to both subjects.
And how does the study buddy method work? Because the name, and when I started reading up about what you do, the name suggests that it's a tutoring service. So it's a one-on-one, somebody is there helping you, a buddy that helps you study.
Yes.
How does that work?
Quite right. When we first started out, our vision was the old-style face-to-face extra lessons, because we felt that South Africa wasn't quite ready for online learning on a 100% basis. So we felt if learners have an experienced person standing in front of them and literally teaching, that would be pretty effective. If one goes onto our website and looks at the stats, you'll actually find that that method actually bears fruit. Learners really get you. We're not quite ready yet for the use of Skype and downloading online material. There's various reasons for that. Children, there's a self-discipline issue that will come in. There's connectivity issues, there's data, you know, and our country is not quite ready for that right now. And then, of course, if you do have access to a computer and data and you download stuff and you get stuck, then it's quite disillusioning to think that, oh gosh, there's going to be a fair amount of time that passes before I move from this hurdle because I don't have an experienced person nearby to sort this issue out. So our vision is to ensure we have the face-to-face contact and We are also in the process of developing online learning material because we feel in future that's going to play a vital role as well. But the way in which we are developing the material, which is currently IP, there's a lot of thought going into it, and we don't just want to produce another set of material that already exists on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to produce something that is going to be explosive and that's going to deliver results, even if a learner does not have access to a tutor at that point.
So both methods are input, have the input of a person. All the kids are next to a person. There's work, there's worksheet type stuff that the kids are doing.
Yeah.
And that brings me to, I think a lot of parents who are time starved, who are exhausted, how much of the parent is then required in supporting a learner that's struggling, or even just a learner that wants to supplement what's happening in the classroom?
Well, obviously, the more the parent can be involved and the more the parent can participate in the child's education, we do see the better that the child does progress. So it certainly is the case that there is a direct positive correlation between parental involvement and a student making positive progress. But with Kumon, there is homework that children have to complete on there's 2 days in the week that they come to Kumon, but for the other days of the week, are worksheets that they need to complete at home. But it's not the requirement of the parent to have to teach, to have to explain the work. That is why those children come to the center, is that's the time for the instructor at the center to give any guidance or hints or help or whatever is necessary at center. Homework is really where the student themselves completes the worksheets for the day, but by being well prepped, as it were, in the center, and then they're able to do the work at home. So we don't require parents to do any kind of teaching, but we do ask of parents to just help children to have a quiet time, as it were, to complete their worksheets, maybe create a little space for them to work either at a desk or somewhere on the dining room table, but that you'd create an environment that's conducive for them to be able to complete their work at home.
The one thing I say to learners and to parents, that the development of a child is a multi-party effort, isn't it? I say to them, so there's the parent, there's the child, the school. Lots of schools these days, especially in the privileged suburbs, have extra academic support. And then there's us. There's Kumon. There's a variety of service providers. On an extra lessons basis. So it's definitely a multi-party effort in that sense. Parents are not required, for example, to necessarily understand the mathematics per se. That is entirely our job. We're fully accountable. Our aim, as I say, when I say to learners, at the end of this lesson, you need to be 10% more than you were yesterday. I firmly believe that from my heart, the deepest part of my heart, because in a lesson, I've asked all my tutors to please follow a format, and it's not really prescriptive, but certain basics have to be covered. And an incredible part of it is to demonstrate lots of worked out examples. And after having done that, to then give the children independent work to do, so they'd stay silent for the next 3 or 4 minutes and solve problems, which would then be reviewed on a board. So from that perspective, that's how children would actually pick up techniques that they can apply immediately. We not huge on homework, but we do give them one tutorial per week, and it's broken down to about 10 minutes per day. We say, if you spend 5 days doing this, this tutorial is less than an hour, so please bring that to the next lesson. Involvement from parents on a technical capacity, almost none is required, but certainly from the child's holistic development point of view, parents would become involved.
It's important to be there and kind of give the support. Because, pardon me, one of the things that I've seen, and being fairly new at this experience, only in my second year of proper kind of engaged in homework and following up and all of that kind of stuff, is I have found that the time one spends, so just the time you spend, and Sudesh, you make the example of having a tutorial and it's 10 minutes a day, because we kind of come from a school of thought that says if there's going to be a test, then you spend 3 hours the day before learning everything and cribbing. And how much of that really the consistent every day doing a little bit is part of the success that you have seen through the various programs? Because the programs do sound like that, that there's a continuous effort that one has to make. How much of that continuous effort versus kind of a 4 or 5 hour or all nighter contributes to the success of the kids?
Well, certainly that's the one of the most fundamental philosophies of Kumon, is you don't have to spend hours every day. If you do a little bit every day, it's remarkable how well you'll do in that subject. And it's actually like with anything in life, whether it's a sport, whether it's a musical instrument, whatever it is. If you actually practice every single day, you don't have to practice for hours, but you just practice for a certain time period every day, just about anybody can be really, really good at something. But it's also the hardest discipline for most people to do something every day, even if it's for 5 minutes or for 10 minutes or 15 minutes. It's the hardest discipline for most people. But if you can acquire that discipline and you can master it, then you don't need to have a big cram session once a week or hours. If you simply do a little bit every day, that will keep your brain stimulated. It will keep those neural networks going, and it will enable you to become really, really good at a subject.
Because how much of the bad habits of a parent, because I mean, you've been at school long ago and the world has shifted. The world has changed. So school today is not what school was when you matriculated. And for me, I'm only starting the journey. So by the time my son is matriculating, it'll be like, you know, 50 years later. I don't know. However,
evolution.
The evolution is so drastic, so dramatic. And how much of those bad habits creep into children's habits? Because the parents have them from back in the day. You know, just in terms of your experience working with the kids, working with the parents, putting together this program, how much of that also plays a role, the bad habits of a parent?
I think role modeling is really important.
We are not the role modeling thing. You say that. It's like I didn't, like, get it. And I don't think if anybody had ever told me before having a child, that's the whole thing, is everything you do is like being watched and mimicked.
Exactly.
I don't think I would have listened to it, but
yes,
gets me every time.
Yeah, they often say that children don't do what you say, they do what you do.
They never do what you say.
So certainly role modeling is really, really important. We have extremities. We have some parents who are extremely involved, you know, and supporting the children and warming their food when they come home and really supportive. And then on the other end of the scale, some parents are forced to work really long hours and leaving home at 6:30 in the morning, coming home after 7. And you yourself, the economic breadwinner in the household, are so tired, you don't want to come home and start assisting
go
a child.
Go to school.
You know, so children do learn from parents' bad habits. I often say to people when they come to Study Buddy that we're not just mathematicians or scientists out there, we're also coaches. And we chat to children about these wider issues. And we speak about the general parent out there. And we kind of cover aspects such as where children come from broken homes, where there's, you know, issues at home, perhaps alcoholism, there may be violence, etc. And you kind of cover it with personal experiences. I like to draw from my own experiences. I grew up in a house in which there were...
Where are you from?
I grew up in Durban.
Where in Durban?
In Reservoir Hills.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It sounds like you're from KZN?
I'm not from KZN, but my mom is from Manzimtoti, so I know Durban very well.
All right. I grew up in a community. So that's
that's a I mean, almost every black person in South Africa has a particular type of experience above a certain age. And that is not a place where you would ordinarily think of an actuarial scientist would come from.
Mm. I think probably it's the way in which we were demarcated in the past. You could get mathematicians coming out of any area.
Mm.
And as we've seen, the top learner in the country has come from
Limpopo
province and so on. So there
listen,
are people
the kids
all
in Limpopo, ne, have I don't know what is in the water over there, but those maths and science numbers coming out of Limpopo, guy. Always, every year, I am astounded. And I think we should be, surely as a country, we should be cultivating all of this natural ability. Because there are people with natural ability. There are people with natural linguistic ability. There are people with natural... We should cultivate every time I see those numbers coming out of Limpopo. I'm like, those guys, don't know what's in the water over there.
There's lots of achievers that have come out of Limpopo. I was privy to meeting a huge businessman in Johannesburg who's also from the Limpopo province. And he spoke of so many other people who are in big business in Johannesburg who came out of Limpopo. And it's amazing, if we were a closed society, we'd not ever get to meet these people.
Mm.
So yes, you'd get gems coming out of any society, really. One's just got to tap into the talent.
Mm. And, you know, so the... On the one side, there's parent involvement, but what we do also see a lot of, which, you know, I'll side-eye that, is you also see a lot of parents who seem to be vicariously living through their parents. So the pressure on the kids from the parent can also be, you know, finding, how does one find the middle ground? How do you... There's already lots of pressure on children to perform in a particular way. How do you as a parent, you know, not overstep your part of the pressure you add onto it? Where do you find the middle ground between really pushing a child and knowing that this is their limit and pulling back when you have to?
Yeah, I think that's a big challenge for any parents, because
especially when you're paying an arm and a leg for that, like,
I know,
2.2 million rand for a school, like, for a school career is... I think a lot of parents probably feel there's a lot of money that's been put into this. You better, like, show proper returns.
Absolutely. And I think it's always a dilemma for a parent, because on the one hand, if you look at anyone who's succeeded well in life, whatever field they happen to be in, and especially those who are the world's best, if you look at their lives, they've started from very young and they've worked very, very hard and they have practiced a lot, and there has been a lot of times where they've maybe had to sacrifice childhood activities and playing with friends and all of that.
Thank you, Tiger Mom.
Yes, exactly, exactly. So it's almost, that's what it takes to be unbelievably successful in whatever field you are. But on the other hand, you also want your child to have a childhood and to play and to just be free. That's the only time in your life when you have real freedom and no responsibilities or few responsibilities and can just enjoy being in the moment and playing and imagining and experiencing the world around you. So, but if you only have that kind of life, then you're not going to do so well in future, in your adult years. So how, finding the balance, I think, is a really a huge challenge. And I think certainly in Kumon, and I'm sure with study buddies as well, so much of the time we're working with individual child, yes, but the child comes with parents, with a family, and there's lots of opportunity for us to engage with the family as well. And like you mentioned, almost as a coach sometimes, maybe for parents who don't have any kind of discipline in the home, like you mentioned earlier, how do I've got lots of bad habits, but I don't really want to pass it on to my child. Sometimes through how we train and work with the child to become more daily disciplined, almost has a knock-on effect onto the parents. And on the other scale, where maybe we find there's a lot of pressure being put on the child, or they are under extreme pressure to perform, we also then have an opportunity to engage with the parents as well and say, you know, contextualize the child's current ability. Actually, they're doing really, really well. You don't have to worry. And how about if we try this approach and have an opportunity to coach there as well, in terms of helping parents to realize how well their child is actually doing, and they can step down a little bit in terms of the amount of pressure.
And what about children that are really struggling? And we're currently talking a lot about children that are probably kind of in the middle of the scale, but children that are truly struggling, a child that is not coping in the classroom, a child that is not meeting the minimum requirement, how does one support that kind of child with extracurricular activity?
All right, Sadesh, you go and I'll say something.
Essentially, I think what we found over the last many years is that children who come for extra lessons are generally not scoring 70% upwards as far as study buddies client base is concerned. We actually get people who are scoring some under 20%, some between 20 and 30. In fact, a great number, the majority of study buddies learners are in that area. And then the next critical area is between 30 and 40%. It's an exceptional challenge, Pumi. And it takes an immense effort from the tutors in order to transform such marks. You can imagine you're dealing with a multitude of negative things that happened in this child's life, from foundational mathematics to having gone wrong, to his personal attributes, you know, being really negative, poor self-esteem and the like. Essentially, what we do with groups like that is we give them a lot of worked out examples, show them methodologies, we pull in their homework, we mark, we show them where they're going wrong, and we're finding that these guys actually start coming through. I encourage you again, check out the website and you'll see those stats about those guys in the 20%. And this one particular group comes to mind last year, the one we worked with in Pretoria North, where the average in that class was around about 33% in our study buddy class from a private school, where it's really expensive, as you've discovered, Pumi. The average of that group sitting with study buddy was about 33% or so. And that group improved to around about 65-66% within a space of about 4 months or 5 months. But the problem is, again, parents are very short-sighted. Once that happened, they pulled them out of extra lessons. And my problem with that is I told the parents from the beginning, we're fighting fires here. All I want from these guys is just over 50%, but they ended up blowing out the lights, so to say, you know, by going into the 60s. And once they got into the 60s, the parents took them out. And the issue with that is that they now have a false perception of where they are. There will be regression, and then they're going to go back to your study buddies and Kumons and other services.
And then the work is always twice as hard.
It's going to become difficult again.
From Kumon's perspective, it's ideally suited. Well, Kumon is a program that's for any age or any ability, but children who have lots of challenges or are really struggling, it's ideally suited to them. As I mentioned earlier, we really focus on each individual child when they come to Kumon. So we don't start them if you're you're in grade two. We're going to start you with grade two work. Like I said earlier, we're going to say, let's take you right back to the beginning and let's start again and let's go step by step according to your ability. So there's no pressure on them to keep to any kind of timetable or syllabus, and for that reason they can move at their own pace. So if this child, even if they are in high school already and they need to spend a month going back to 1+1 to just get that right again, they have the freedom to do that. There's no exam coming up that they've on Kumon's side that they've got to meet. There's no syllabus that they've got to complete in a certain time frame. And I think often that's why children do struggle, is because they aren't given sufficient opportunity or time to be able to go through something at their own pace and understand it and grasp it, and very they've quickly got to move on to the next thing and the next thing, and they always
and it's getting
feel
examined and it's
yeah
and assessed and marked and
always feeling disadvantaged, always feeling they're never quite on top of things, and that feeling just generates ongoing anxiety, and your grades get worse, and your whole experience becomes so negative.
Is it ever warranted to just at some just go, listen, I've missed it. I'm just not the person for this particular thing. You know, now that they've got maths literacy, where it's really just the most basic of the literal stuff in mathematics. It doesn't have all the heavy concepts. Is it ever warranted for a parent to go, you know what, I've missed the boat with this guy. This guy is not going to be good at maths. He's not going to be good at the, you know, I'm just going to get to what I need to get by. Mm. Is it ever warranted for a parent, or is it important that you stick it out and you know, mm-hmm. go through? Can you ever just go, this guy is not a maths guy?
I think not without trying, Pumi. If they've done everything, you know, went to the academic support at school, you know, if they were in a position to afford extra lessons and had done all of that, and still found that there was no chance of this child passing core mathematics, what I would then recommend is that they actually check if there's a learning disability as well. And usually that's found out quite early in life in primary school. If there's no learning disability, the child is just not interested in improving the mathematics, then you have to step back and say, I'm going to have to go for maths literacy. But be aware that the options and possibilities in university would then be limited. So my take on this is that some people would have to be forced to go maths lit. Possibilities are limited, but I'd like the majority of people to stick it out and to continue trying, because I can promise you that we've seen that with the right intervention from the right people, people in the 20%, and we've had examples of people who wrote matric three times in private schools and who then rewrote via some extra program in the country and who've come to us with like 27% in mathematics and passed it with 65%. And these are verifiable statistics. So it showed me that, in fact, it's results like that convinced me that if those children were exposed to the right people, you know, in the right environment, they can pass mathematics. Last year, we had a brother and sister from Pretoria West. In the June exams, the one scored like 33% and one was like 30%. And I said to these two children, all I want from you in grade 12 is 50% at the year end. And I was terrified. It didn't look to me at times like they were going to get there. The brother ended on about 65% or something. The mom gave me the results. The sister ended on like 62%. Sure. Now, those two children, let's say the parents put their hands up and said, that's it, we can't do anything else. So they would probably have ended up grade 12 mathematics failing. But I'm saying that there are tutors out there who can make you pass. Mm. So really explore that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. In Kumon, we have a saying of every child an achiever, and we really believe that everybody has potential, and it would be, as you said, short-sighted or a mistake to give up until you've tried everything. And I think I've said earlier that our take or our philosophy is, if you go back to, like you said, if you have a different opportunity or a different environment to learn something, and if you go back to the beginning and you start again and you build up that foundation, and most importantly, if you practice all the time, if you practice, it's amazing how many people can be really good. People that you would think would have been write-offs, or there's no ways that that's going to happen. Amazingly, by simply practicing, and going back and building up those foundations again, it's amazing how many people can really succeed in maths. Exactly. And as you've given case studies, I mean, we just count this in Kumon as well, of children who've come, who disheartened, discouraged, their parents are all for giving up, poor grades, no self-belief.
Poor grades have such a huge impact on the self-esteem.
Absolutely.
Because if you're not getting the right grades, everybody, you feel stupid.
That's
feel stupid because the assessment in the classroom, and everybody knows about the assessment, and now everybody knows what you got. And it really, just the impact on the child is just as big.
That's
huge. Which is why the question for me around, should you give up? You know, should you as a parent at some point go, you know what, I'd rather not put my child through all of this mess, you know, of all of this attack on their personal esteem and find something else.
It's a tough one, but I think Satish really answered that well, you know, and that try everything first. And if there is, you might be surprised. You might be surprised as to what they, the right environment, the right tutor, or the right kind of approach to learning something could make all the difference. And there might be that kernel of ability or kernel of success that's just waiting there, and it just takes the right environment, the right person to unlock it and to release it. And you might be surprised what's
under
there.
And Pumi, this is so important that I'd encourage people that unless there's a diagnosed learning disability, don't give up. Because I know there are tutors out there who can turn a 20% into a 50%. And that exists in this country, right here in Johannesburg.
Sure. Look, then there's the question of affordability. I know you know where you're in the northern suburbs, you're in the private schools, there's lots of support that can be given to kids and parents are willing to pay for it. What about parents who maybe don't have as much access to disposable income to pay additional tuition for their kids? What can they do to support their kids a little bit more? You know, what are some of the, just from the experience that you've had, the programs that you run, what are some of the things that a parent can do that may be low cost but will give a child that extra opportunity? You spoke a lot about the practice, Roseanne. What else can parents do to give that additional support if they can't pay a tutor or send them to an extracurricular whatever?
I think, as we've mentioned earlier, I think parental interest and support of a child's education accounts for a lot. And it's amazing how much a child can do better and make better progress simply by a parent being interested. And sometimes, and we've got busy lives, busy schedules, and it's hard, but to take that moment or that time or provide that environment for a student to have a little space somewhere where they can work well, where they can do their homework with ease, and showing an interest in what they're studying and what they're learning. That alone can count for a lot in terms of a child doing better at school. And then, yes, ensuring that they do their homework is a big thing. Because funny enough, if you do your homework, you could actually get a better mark.
Yeah.
Or if you study.
Just your
homework. Simply supervision and ensuring that it does happen. And as you've mentioned, parents do have long hours sometimes, and it's not always you maybe, but I really believe in having, even if it's a tiniest space, but a space that this is my learning space, by creating that in the home, so a child feels, you know, if you've got nowhere to work and you're in between everything else, it's very hard to feel successful. But if you've got a little tiny organized environment where you can sit and study, that goes a long way as well. So, yeah, ensuring that homework gets done, making sure that they practice every day, showing an interest and believing in your child, believing in them that they're great and they can succeed, and showing them that constantly that you really think that they're doing so well and that you believe in them. Well, I think those are all ingredients that can help children to really believe in themselves.
Do so much better.
Pumi, you raise an exceptionally critical issue for the country, because there are people sitting in rural areas who simply cannot afford extra lessons. And this is a challenge for our country as a whole, business as well as private education service providers, to actually collaborate. And there is expertise out there. There are, you know, innumerable number of people who are highly competent in mathematics and science and who are available to assist people in the rural areas. But we're chatting to business to say, become involved. This is what we have done to date, and this is what we can do if we adopt this school in Limpopo, that school in Eastern Cape. So become involved. Help us to make this possible. You know, if you back us, we go there with the content, we go there with the expertise, and we'll start changing lives. Mm-hmm. So there is a responsibility also on South African business to become involved with us.
Mm. Yeah, because, you know, because the challenges are so huge, and we see it as we were talking about the numbers coming out of Limpopo. It's not geographical. Mm. You know, people can do well if they have the support. And I think just the support of parents. And again, this is my initial, my big, I suppose, and why I needed to have this conversation is one of the things that's my big fear is that you're not doing enough as a parent. You know, there's so much out there. There's so many things. There's online and this, and it's difficult to kind of figure out. But maybe it just starts with something as simple as being involved, being there, checking the homework. If you don't have looking for places, if you don't have the technical expertise, looking for places where you can find the information. Before I let you go, your information, how do people get hold of you? How do people find out about more about you? Where do they go? Sudesh, let's start with you. Okay. It's only because you're on my right that you're the first person. Actually,
well, you can get hold of me a couple of ways. I'm at 079-528-1755. 079-528-1755.
Not shy with that cell phone number. Also, you wasn't listening to Frankly Speaking, just putting it out there. Cell phone number directly into his pocket.
Our website, www.studybuddyonline.co.za.
StudyBuddyOnline.co.za. And you're not just based in Gauteng, you are everywhere. Can you? If I'm in Cape Town listening to the show,
we've got partners in Cape Town who would provide the tuition.
Provide the tuition all over the country. Homegrown support for children, maths, science, and the languages. Which ages do you concentrate on?
Well, it's approximately age 8 through to 17, and we've got a university component as well.
University component too. Now you tell me with 2 minutes to go. Because that's a big one as well. I think just, you know, because everybody cares about matric. It's so funny for me that everybody cares about just that matric year. Yes. But there's all the 11 years prior. Yes. And then there's also post-matric. But quite everybody true. Just concentrates all of their energy on matric. Well, I may have to call you back on another day. Roseanne?
The best place to find information about Kumon is on our website, kumon.co.za. It has the full listing of all of our centers around the country with contact details, times, fees, what they offer. So it's a very detailed resource to go to. Of course, you can also phone me at my office, which is 011-459-2600. And our age group, really is suited to all ages, but the predominant age group that we focus on is the younger, from preschool through from about ages 4 through to 14 on into high school. But it is really something that's suitable for everybody.
I think if you're a parent listening today, there's lots of information out there. There's really lots of help. If your child is struggling, or if you just want to give extra help to your child so that they can be a better student, there are lots of places to go to. Thank you very much, Roseanne. Thank you very much, Sudesh, for coming through and chatting with me. And you can always catch podcasts of this show and other shows. I'm Phumi Mashego, and you've been listening to
Womandla on CliffCentral.com.
We're back again next week.
This is CliffCentral.com.